This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join our guests for the day. It's Oanda's senior market analyst, Kenny Fisher, and in the United States, Trader Nick. How are you doing, guys?
Hey, Johnny. Good to be back.
Nice to be here.
Plenty happening over the last few days. Let's start with yesterday's comments from Fed Chair Jerome Powell. Off air, Nick, you said to me that you thought his comments yesterday were fairly dovish.
So there was a couple things we could take from his commentary recently on Capitol Hill. One thing to just get out of the way first is there's a little bias in my voice because these things usually bother me. They're a little annoying to listen to, in my personal opinion, simply because a lot of times these legislators, they take it as kind of a podium to push their agenda when they ask questions from Jerome Powell. I find that to be a little irritating to listen to. But what Jerome Powell actually has to say is, of course, always what matters most. So you'll get this long-winded, politically incited the question, but then Jerome Powell gives you a nice little bit of information. And actually, we did hear some, in my opinion, pretty dovish sounding comments from Jerome Powell yesterday. Of course, they always ask him about how are you feeling about the inflation? When are you going to cut? All the same questions. And Jerome Powell always makes the same standpoint of, you know, we have a dual mandate. We want to keep inflation under control, price control, but also job data strong. Where things get interesting yesterday was he very distinctly, I'm going to paraphrase here because I don't have the text in front of me, but he said something along the lines of unemployment rate rising has basically brought to attention the Fed an equal concern on the inflation front to the labor front. And I think that that's a little bit of a shift in wording, which it is the antics of these things. It's the little things, the little change in pace from the Fed chair that makes a big difference. Reiterating the importance of the dual mandate, the unemployment rate rising to 4.1% in the latest jobs data is something to now pay attention to for the Fed. Not only that, he also doubled down on that, saying that PCE 2.6%, which is their preferred measurement of inflation, is substantial progress. So he's pointing out that the U.S. economy is strong, that they've made a lot of progress on inflation, and now you have this situation with their dual mandate coming back full swing. I've been thinking about this a lot, Johnny, and what I think about the idea that what got the Fed to hike interest rates so aggressively? It was the sudden surge in inflation. Now we see inflation at least moving very slowly, but still in the downwards direction. But what's coming that's new? Well, new data is showing that labor data is starting to trend in the wrong direction. Now, it's not necessarily in a crisis mode, but we have to think about what is the Fed, you know, the Fed almost like puts out fires. If something is showing embers, they're going to show more attention to that. But, you know, inflation, if it flares up again, that's a different story. But right now, the direction is key here. Inflation is generally heading lower, and labor data is also generally heading lower. So the next debate, of course, is when do the rate cuts actually come in? The FedWatch tool seems to be pricing in the first rate cut based on bond futures in September. We'll see if that comes into play. But as we reach into the second half of this week, Johnny, we get really interesting data. We've got the consumer price index on Thursday and the producer price index on Friday. I think this is where the rubber meets the road, because if you get inflation data that is continuing to show progress, meanwhile jobs data is slowing, you've got a story there where I think the Fed looks to cut rates.
From what you were saying, it's almost as if Jay Powell is concerned that that soft landing that we've been talking about over the last few months, seems like forever, is in danger if unemployment continues to rise and interest rates don't fall.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is you have to be careful here, because the Fed, let's face it, does not have a clean track record when they do begin cutting rates of completely avoiding a recession. Have they done it in the past? Yes. A case example would be 1995, where we did accomplish a very gradual reduction of the Fed funds rate, and it led to a really big boom cycle before, of course, the ultimate crash in the 2000s. What's interesting here is, again, it's all about the rate cuts. But I shouldn't sound too dovish, because he didn't come out and, you know, pound the table saying we're clear for rate cuts. He still said rate cuts are probably the next move. He didn't say they're certainly the next move. He said he did say hikes are no longer the next move. But the contingency here is them being data dependent on this upcoming inflation data. And I think the one part to add here is that the longer we see inflation not moving in the right direction and jobs data continuing to trend lower, the larger that probability of a recession actually coming into the picture becomes.
But markets are expecting a fall, aren't they, in the CPI numbers?
They're sensitive to the inflation rate, but what seems to be the theme this year is regardless of when rate cuts, at least for the stock market, the direction of rate cuts or rate hikes is seemingly more important. The market continues to push higher. We're hitting an all-time high today, yet again, intraday high. The NASDAQ just confidently higher. The average stock may not be doing super well, but the overall market, the index in the U.S. seems to be really strong. You know, we'll see where that goes. But we do have earnings season. That's one thing to just briefly mention. On Friday, we have banks starting to report their earnings. And more importantly, arguably, would be what the depositors are looking like, what the savings accounts are looking like for consumers and where they stand with all this inflation.
And of course, here in the UK, we've seen the CPI number hit target a few weeks ago. It was too little too late for the UK Prime Minister Rishi Sunak. And of course, we have a new administration now under Sir Keir Starmer. And he's in your part of the world today, Nick, in Washington, meeting his NATO counterparts. But Kenny, I wanted to ask you about tomorrow's UK GDP figures. What are markets expecting?
Okay, the UK economy has shown a very slow recovery from COVID over the past few years, to the extent that there was a recession in the second half of 2023. But it looks like we're seeing signs of an improvement. In April, there was a gain of 0.6%. It was the highest in almost 3 years. And tomorrow's GDP, the estimate is 1.2%. So it's double April, and that would certainly be a very strong reading. Now, in April, there was very bad weather. It seems that often British releases are connected to the weather. April was a very rainy month, and that dampened shoppers going out and spending. May, apparently the weather's a lot better, and we'll see if that translates into a stronger GDP, which the markets are keeping an eye on, which comes out tomorrow morning.
Let's go to the other side of the world now, Kenny. And I note that the New Zealand dollar is down almost 1%.
Well, it's as you mentioned, Johnny, it's been a really interesting day in New Zealand. And what really precipitated that was the Central Bank of New Zealand's decision. It was really a remarkable event for central banks, which usually are quite cautious. You could call it a 180-degree shift in New Zealand's central bank's monetary policy. They did hold rates, which was expected. Rates are quite high at 5.25%. But what I think really shocked the markets was the dovish tone of the rate statement. Investors looked at that as a signal that a rate cut is coming, and that was completely unexpected. Just a couple of months ago at the May meeting, the central bank discussed the possibility of a rate hike because of sticky inflation. Inflation right now is about 4%, which is double what the central bank would like to see. There was talk that we could even see rates move higher. Change in the central bank's tone, where they talked about even though inflation is high, they expect it to go down. And the hint of a rate cut, possibly in August, has really surprised the markets. And that sent the New Zealand dollar sharply lower because, as we know, when rates may go down, the currency becomes less attractive to investors. And at the same time, the New Zealand stock market is up about 1% today. So it's been really a very volatile day in New Zealand.
Yeah, that's actually interesting, Kenny. I hadn't been closely watching that. But what's interesting is, you know, we also see gold higher on the day as well, which, you know, I make this comparison often when it comes to gold is, gold is kind of, it's sensitive to not just U.S. economic data. Now, of course, it's often quoted in U.S. dollars, but the activities of central banks globally are very important to other currencies, but also gold, which I like to use as kind of the proxy for global monetary policy a lot of the times. So we're seeing this theme where, you know, now that the U.S., I think the Fed chair being a bit more dovish, it may be giving a little bit of wiggle room to other central banks who are saying, you know, maybe we can cut too. And so cutting interest rates, as you mentioned, driving the stock market higher. It also can drive prices higher for gold, as you know, maybe there's a possibility of more fiat currency, not just in the US, not just in these particular pockets of the world, but it seems to be a global trend right now that central banks want to cut, that the economies around the world are feeling some of the effects of all of this post-pandemic cleanup. And we're seeing that in, and as you mentioned, with the UK situation, with Europe, New Zealand, the US. I mean, it seems to be a secular trend now to want to cut rates in a modest fashion. So we do see gold up on the day. We're sitting at $2,380 an ounce, the spot price, of course. That's not the futures price. And nearing, but not quite there, that all-time high on a nominal basis around $2,450, give or take. I mean, if we continue to see a trend towards central banks wanting to cut interest rates and more surprises, as you've mentioned, if we see that be the case, gold very well may see those previous highs again sooner rather than later.
Very interesting, Nick. Thank you very much, guys. We will speak to you again on Friday.
Thanks, Johnny.
Thanks very much, Johnny.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.